Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live and direct with the 4-5 in the tech, your boy Lush.
Is that how you at? Start your interviews?
I just did right now.
Yeah, what's up, man? It's your boy Duno assisting Lush, my guy.
It's Uno and Duno.
Facts.
And my dog, Eptos Uno, if you don't know, one of the most decorated MCs from south of the border, you know what I'm saying? Not just in the world of music, but battle rap as well. And he's a really dope guy. I'm glad you're here, man.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, man. I've seen you guys in the podcast before, and it feels great to be here.
Oh, my God. I appreciate you.
So I want to hear about your early life, where you from, what brought you into the world of hip-hop, all that shit.
Yeah, I'm from Sonora. That's the state under Arizona. I was born there, so when I was, like, my first approach to hip-hop, I was always, like, an artistic kind of kid. Like, I used to draw and everything, so I got into graffiti. I wasn't really writing when I was, like, 9, 10 or whatever, but I used to look at it. I used to love it and shit. So at that time, we moved to Arizona. That's where I started, like, really doing graffiti and stuff and got into listening to hip-hop. So I had some cousins over there. They they put me into the gangsta West Coast shit, everything, like the classic shit. And one of my cousins put me into Nas, Wu-Tang, and that shit kind of blew my mind a little more, you know, because I was like, oh, this is like the shit I want to do, like some lyrical shit. So my graffiti homies, they used to put me into music too, and that's how I started, like, loving this music, man, like getting the best from the commercial shit and the underground.
So you was, it was hip-hop when you were growing up. Was it mainly because you moved to Arizona, or was hip-hop popping in Mexico too?
They had some groups over there in my city. Yeah, it was kind of popping. I wasn't really into it till I got to Arizona and stuff.
My boy Duno's crazy with the graph too.
Yeah. Shout out those three writers over here.
Come on, bro.
Shout out one of the first elements of hip-hop that goes very underrated, because a lot of people don't know Fat Joe was a writer.
Exactly. Yeah. Crack. People don't know how, you know how he got his name, Joey Crack? Because when he would be catching spots, he wouldn't have a belt on, and this is the baggy jeans era. Shit would be hanging low on his ass, and you could see his crack. That's where people think it's from him selling crack. That's really how he got the name Joey Crack.
That's crazy.
Man. Crazy, right?
And then moving to Arizona, how was the change, like, with lifestyles and stuff like that, like adjusting to new friends and a new language?
Yeah, I had to adjust quick, you know. That's how I learned English, because I went to elementary school, like just 6th grade, and I went to middle school. And in middle school, like, I got into a fight with the main fool from the Mexicans and stuff. Yeah. So I had to kick it with Chicanos, other people that spoke English. So that's how I developed speaking English quicker, though. So it was pretty cool, man, like, to adjust over there. I used to kick it with my cousins a lot and go riding. And I was really deep into graffiti, like stealing paint, like doing all kinds of crazy shit.
Okay. So, yeah, what was your graph name?
Eptos.
Eptos was your graph name too? My name is Duno.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, Lush. You feel me? Lush. Yeah. Did you, what part of AZ was you in?
Phoenix.
Oh, you was in Phoenix?
Yeah.
Okay. Phoenix is a pretty wild city. People don't really know much about it. Like, what was, like, were you in the hood in Phoenix? Like, what side of town and all that?
I was in La Finiquera, man.
La Finiquera, and in the west side, man. But I used to move around the central area, too. I was over there in 19th Ave and Camelback, around that area.
I know that there's a Van Buren, that's where all they'd be selling dope, and there's the prostitutes and all that.
You know where they sell dope in every
state. Bro, don't ask me how. Don't ask me how. But so, you know, it's crazy, because we were just talking about when you hitting those border towns, like there's, you know, Chula Vista, and you got TJ on the other side, and then El Paso, and you got Juarez on the other side. Mm. And, you know, when you're looking at El Paso, it's a pretty hood city itself. It's not like a super nice town, but you see a notable difference between that and Juarez. And this is like, is that when you were like growing up in Mexico, what was like the biggest difference as far as like the way it looked, like what you were doing coming up?
Yeah, definitely the way it looked, and it's just a whole different culture, you know, because there's more businesses over here and people investing in the city, so that makes the city, like, when you look in the border town, over there in Sonora, they got Nogales. They have Nogales, Arizona, and Nogales, Sonora, so that's the little border town, but it's way different, man, because you see, like, it's over here, everything's, like, brand new, and you see everything over here, like, falling down and shit. In those areas close to the border, but other than that, it's pretty cool. People are great over there. You know, the food's amazing. I love it.
Thanks. Yeah. And you being from a border, like you're kind of like from a border city in the Mexico side. Like, how'd you stay away from drugs? If you think about it, like there's so much going on.
Yeah.
You feel me? Just like in El Paso, just like in San Ysidro, San Diego, just like in Arizona, like. Everything's so close because of how much everything goes on right there. How are we able to stay away from drugs and stuff like that?
Maybe he didn't.
Yeah, I wasn't really doing drugs back then when I first started. There's probably some weed here and there.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a lot of drugs over there, man. There's a lot of kids that have to slang and have to do all kinds of crazy shit because just their environment pushes them to that.
Now, and I don't want you to say anything that's going to put you in any type of situations, but people out here are fascinated. Just like, you know, everyone wants to hear about the gangs and gangsters shit out here.
Yeah.
What we know about down there is the cartels and all that. Like, did you see the effects of the cartels and like how that, what are like some ways that affects day-to-day life where you're from?
Well, it's really, where I'm from especially right now, it's the third most dangerous city in the world.
Wow.
Ciudad Obregón, Sonora, that shit's heated. And we only have 400,000 people living right there. But there's like a gang war between like four different cartels and stuff. So shit is just crazy over there, man. People are dying. Like nobody want to invest in the business. I haven't been living over there for 10 years now. But
did you go visit?
Yeah. I did a show over there. So it's a wow. Risk, you know. Like people go over there, but you can't. I know I lost a lot of homies that were good people, you know, but staying over there, you might get into some shit, like, I don't know, where, you know.
It's kind of like you're affiliated by association, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Like, maybe you meet some girl or they caught you with some shit. Like, I don't know, man. You can't really do shit over there. Hmm. So they have the army. El Ejército, they have the Marines. They have, like, all these different task forces and shit's still crazy. I don't know, man. Hopefully someday calms down because right now it's, like, one of the most heated.
What's that you can speak about? I know there's probably a lot you can't talk about.
Yeah.
What's the craziest shit that you've seen that, like, you can talk about? Down there.
I got booked by some guys before, like, I didn't know what mafia they were from or whatever, but you know, I went to an event. It was over there in Chihuahua. They took me to this after party, man, and it was wild over there. I guess it was some crazy ass fools. They were loving my music and stuff, so I got to interact with them. But they took me to this town and shit. Like, you have to take a dirt road to go and stuff after the event and shit. So they even opened the gate with an AK and stuff. So I got
some real life movie shit.
Yeah. So I was with me and my homies, they got booked for that show too. And they told us, like, you know, no girls, just dudes. Girls are not allowed and shit, no cell phones or whatever. So we got there and they had all kinds of bottles, all kinds of crazy shit, you know. So we just kicked it with them and
mounds of cocaine?
Yeah. Definitely, they have fucking cocaine. Like, people were snorting it with their hands and shit. So it was wild.
Damn, but no hoes?
No, there was a lot of bitches. You can't bring hoes.
Yeah. Oh, there was already bitches there.
Yeah, they were just a couple. But I knew it was a weird event. Like, something was going on because I was in the backstage. And there was, like 20 girls right there. And they were all looking great. And I was like, you know what? I don't think this is normal. Like, to this underground type shows, you know?
Yeah, there's too many bad bitches right here for us freestylers.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
y'all get no hoes in the rap game.
That is a big misconception.
Yeah, I'm just, look. Okay, let's talk about this, please.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's just be honest.
What's up?
The underground rap battle freestyle bar shit. There's no hoes.
They're trying to say you don't get hyenas, fool. What the fuck?
Shit, I do. I got a hyena.
Yeah. Is there groupies of that scene?
Yeah, there is. Over there in Mexico, there's a lot of there's a big ass market right now. It's like
super big market.
It's like the era where the labels are starting to sign artists for the first time.
It's like, you know, the 90s, basically.
Yeah, basically. Like, yeah. So shit is blowing up over there. Like people are really going in the movement a lot. You know, like there's people pulling crowds, 10,000 people, like shit like that. So it's pretty nice.
Like Asesino.
Yeah, like
yeah, definitely.
And speaking of Asesino, like, from what I understand, you guys have always kind of had a rivalry. I know there's respect there, but like, what's the story between you and Asesino?
Oh, that's my homie. Like, we have a song we're about to put out too.
Okay.
Like, I battled him, but we battled before, like in the freestyle scene. Then we battled written, but you know he got me right that day because people weren't fucking with me. They were like, really biased and stuff. But I had an evil plan, bro. Like, I booked him. My plan was to beat him, get all the money from the event. You know, it was too wild. So,
it
didn't happen how I planned it, but I still got the dough from the event. But yeah, like, I had some cool material, but he just had all the people with him. And I'm not from the city, though. I'm not from Mexico City. So
right.
I'm like an outsider and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
That's where my family's from.
Yeah, they got a lot of love for me. I love them too. I have a lot of fans over there. But you know, Asesino's a fucking legend over there.
He's God, dog. Yeah.
So, you saw when we did Disaster versus Asesino.
Yeah, Disaster wasn't shit compared to Asesino.
I mean, chill the fuck out, bro.
I was still talking about my best friend like that.
Come on,
bro. I'm just
talking.
Nah, shout out to Disaster. But we are in California. Asesino has a lot of Mexican fans, and most of the fans were there to see somebody they're not allowed to see every day.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, a lot of people traveled. Like, there's people from all over Cali, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Mexico. There's hella people that flew internationally for that. Even to make that event happen, we had to get a special visa for him. Like, it was high-powered, high-profile shit. Sheesh. I mean, what were your thoughts seeing, like, you know, were you even familiar with Asesino before then, or?
Yes, motherfucker. Because, well, I've seen, like, the battle rap shit. I'm not too much of a fan of, like, I can't tell you everybody that's on it. I know, like, the main dude.
You know a lot more than you let on.
Yeah, facts. But he is known to be one of the greatest. And I think the only guy he ever lost to is a dude from Argentina, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and then other than that, he, like, retires every other battle, and then he comes back and shit like that. But that was dope, seeing him doing English, whole freestyle versus Disaster.
With Disaster being a legend in L.A. in particular, and having it basically feeling like an away game for Diz, even though it's in his city, that just shows the power of Asesino and the international scene. But, you know, and Asesino also makes some fire music, but I feel like that's where you really shine. Like, you're a dope freestyle battler, you're dope with the writtens, but your music is off the chain.
Oh, definitely, bro. It's because I was always in, thank you, I appreciate it. I was always into music first, like before I started making music and freestyling. Actually, I started like freestyling in English because my tagger homies, they were doing it. They were older than me, and I used to see them freestyle, and I was like, oh, shit, I want to do this, you know? Well, I got smoked once, and like in school, I battled this guy, and fuck, I died. And from then, I just kept doing it, but I had to move back to Mexico when I was like 15.
So you had to go back. Were you kind of like, fuck? Did you want to, like, not want to leave AZ and all that?
But I was already, like, passionate about graffiti and music, so I had to leave. You know, some shit happened over there, and I had to dip. And I met some fools that were tagging over there in Mexico when I came back, and one of them told me, no, my homie records rap artists. You should go over there. So that's how I started making my first songs. But it was always about making music for me. But I started using the battles just, you know, to make a name and stuff.
Fire. How different is the graffiti scene in Mexico than it is in America?
Yeah, over there it's really, they don't really buff the graffiti, so it's all tagged up, so that's pretty cool.
That's just nice. I painted out there in not in Sonora, but I painted in TJ before. Yeah. But yeah, because also it's a little more easier. Like, if the cops pull up, like, here's $20, leave me the fuck alone. You know, let me finish this big ass piece and shit.
Yeah, you can even tell them, like, just take care of me while I finish this piece and stuff. Like, people do shit like that, bro. Like, they just give me, like,
I went to juvie over that shit. Yeah. You feel me? Like, it's all biz ad. Did you, like, so you're saying earlier that it's basically like the 90s, it's a whole. Do you feel like there's more quote unquote real hip hop in Mexico than there is in America right now? When I say real hip hop, yeah. I mean traditional boom bap, you know, sample
over
based.
Over there, they got like different the styles, the genres inside of hip hop. They're a little different. They're like, there's commercial ones, so they're like more basic with their lyrics, and there's more like underground shit, like, you know, more aggressive. There's some fools that are more like hardcore, let's say like some Onyx type fools, you know, like shit like that. They're barely branching out with the styles over there. That's how I see it.
And, you know, I've seen, like, I hella fuck with, like, Narcos Corridos, you know yeah. what I'm saying? Like, all that type of shit is really dope to me. And I've seen, like, at first I had only heard the music, and then recently, you know, in the past couple of years, started watching the videos. And to me, a lot of those videos, like, these fools look like...
Rappers,
you know what I mean? They got the designer head to toe, they got all kinds of gold, they got... badass bitches, but like they'll be a little more blatant with the drugs because you could show more drugs in the videos. Like, you'll see a bunch of fucking bricks and all that.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Well, I think in the Mexico world, I think like doing coke is normal, like,
right?
I think, and we're having the conversation. I'm like, bro, like, my homie's coking all the time. Like, and then I think in other communities, it's like, oh, you're a cokehead instead of that.
Well, but you've never done coke,
I've never done it, but my friends do it.
But
including Lash.
Yeah, not anymore. 2 years, 10 months sober. But like last time I saw you, I was fucked up. We gonna talk about that. But yeah.
Did you ever do like the plazas?
Like
the battle rap plazas?
Oh, not really. I used to go to events and sign up for the freestyle tournament. There was this big ass one where Asesino's a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was a champion too in 2007. Like I won the Red Bull, the national. So I had to battle like, honestly, a lot of fools. But 500 people signed up that day, bro.
Damn.
So I had to battle people from like 11 a.m. to like 10 p.m. like all day. Like they had ciphers. So that's how I became a national champion, and I used that moment to drop my first album, Venganza de los Traumas. That was my first one. So from there, I just started touring. I started doing my shit, and I just moved to Mexico City. And right there, just kept doing music. And in 2015, I got signed by Universal.
Amazing. Yeah. Is it hard
Thank you.
For rappers to support yourselves down there as far as financially?
Yeah, it's harder. You know, you gotta have a team sometimes. Sometimes that's like the thing that some people miss. They don't have a team behind them to help them out. And yeah, you have to dig up opportunities. Like I over there being a big city, they have a lot of brand headquarters, Nike, I don't know, all kinds of brands, Reebok, like all the brands. So you have to reach out to them, you know, you send your shit, send your info. That's how I've been doing it all these years, but it's good over there. They're starting to support hip hop a lot.
And talk about the Red Bull Battalion, because that's like that's low key if you think about it.
Batalla, fool.
Batalla. And it's fucked up because they gave me hella money and I mispronounced their shit. But that's low key the biggest battle platform in the entire world. Yeah. But just because it's not in the English language, a lot of people out here might not be familiar with it, although that's starting to change a little bit. But how, like, break that down for the people that don't know. What's up with the Batalla?
Batalla de Gallos, that's a tournament that's been going on since, like, 2006, I think. So basically they do, like, these small events local in the biggest cities of every Spanish-speaking country. Then they have a national, then they have the international battle where all the champions go and stuff. And it's pretty big, man. It's gotten bigger with the years. Now it's filling up arenas. We over, the last one that was in Mexico, like 2 years ago, the finals, we had like 15,000 people attending. A whole fucking arena.
Shit, bro, they're about to have it again December 10th. I just actually went to the one in Miami. Oh, I went to one in Miami where I saw the guy, But yeah, and then I think also it's an underground game.
Yeah.
It's like a dogfight, fool, because I didn't know. So I went to the Miami one where they had the regional for the United States.
My boy Speak was there, too.
Yeah, I was with Speaks. And there's a guy that won in MacArthur Park. That's where they had the Los Angeles one. His name was Honor or Owner, whatever. And he won, and then I'd go to Mexico City to go compete against the guys that won from Chile, from Argentina. Yeah. Mexico, and I'm like, damn, this is about to be a fucking... But yeah, that scene is crazy. Shout out Red Bull for supporting this battle rap scene that's underground.
Yeah, shouts to Red Bull for being a corporation that actually is giving back to the culture. And definitely. On top of that, like, you have a rabbit. Like, when you say there's no bitches there, that's crazy to me. Because there's, like, you feel me, like, 15,000 people. It's not all dudes. Like, and these are diehard fans that actually follow these people. That's kind of crazy. Like, nice. We don't have it to the as big as battle rap is out here. It's not the same. But you always paid attention to American battle rap as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know what's crazy? I want to add this up. It's like freestyle over there, it's growing for itself. Like, people would just love freestyle, maybe not know any hip hop songs or whatever. Like, let's say a taxi driver, and that fool will be into fucking freestyle. That's how big it's getting, just fucking out of control. Yeah.
What are some of the freestylers or battle rappers from the United States that you were a big fan of?
Definitely Disaster, you know. With a lot of them, my favorite right now, probably is Hollow, Charlie Clips. Those are like my
fire. Fire.
Yeah, some of the guys I like to see battle. Rum Nitty, also Geechee, I like what he does. Murder Monk.
You know, I want to use this as an opportunity to break down or just let people know. And I don't want to say the specifics of it, but we have a new battle format that we're going to be unveiling with GTX. And Eptos is one of the first dudes that's going to be a part of it. So we ain't going to say too much, but you know what I'm saying? It's
okay. So you're getting back into it, Liz?
No, I'm not battling him.
But you're going to be part of the movement.
Well, yeah, no, you know, GTX. We ain't never gonna stop. You feel me? That goes.
Oh, back. Grind time.
Yeah.
Let's.
Come on, fool.
Yeah, come back, you old fart.
Come on, fool.
I'm gonna go so far. Can I be one of the judges?
You could be posted up right next to me, dog.
All right, you said it, boy.
Yeah, from my mouth to God's ears. But,
yeah, shout out to Grind Time, man. GTX, that shit you guys are doing is fucking amazing.
That's love, homie. That's love.
I've been loving the battles.
And there's. Oh, go ahead. What are you about to say?
No, that's how I got into battles too. English battles. Wow. I started watching the Scribble ones, bro. Like way back. So I used to watch those battles, the freestyle battles.
Back when Duno was in diapers.
Yeah, the Scribble.
So like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I used to see Thesaurus, Justice, Iron Solomon.
Amazing.
All those fools, and I got to see you too on the World Rap Championships.
Come on, fool.
I used to, like, when I first was using the internet, I was looking at those battles because I had a homie that used to like him too.
That's dope.
So I used to watch Grind Time, then Smack, then that's KOTD, all that shit.
Amazing.
It's crazy how music translates like that, huh?
Straight up.
Like, it's so international and shit like that. And then seeing it grow in the Latino community is probably one of the most funniest things I've ever seen in a long time, bro. Yeah.
Well, like, the biggest artist in the world right now is Bad Bunny, right? Like,
yeah, but he's not freestyling about fools.
No, but I'm just saying, just like,
okay, I get what you're saying. It's right now, yes, right now it's cool to be Latino.
It's a wave.
It's right now to be Latino. It's a movement, and to anybody watching, any kid that wants to battle rap right now is your chance. Les will hire you.
Come on, go up.
Yeah, like it's a movement. Like, how hard was it, bro? Let's be honest. Yeah, how hard was it for you guys? You motherfuckers crawled for years.
Yeah, definitely. It was really hard, you know, to knock down a lot of doors.
Exactly.
And there's a few different leagues down there, right? Like, what are the different, like, the main battle rap leagues?
Oh, yeah. I have my own battle league. That was the first one that was founded over there in Mexico. Spit MX since 2012.
Spit MX, yeah.
Yeah, and they have Linea 16. That's one of the big. That's a different format. But it's one of the biggest ones. And
Barras de Sangre.
They have Barras de Sangre. It's more like a closed room type event. So they have a few leagues, bro. They're growing up over there. And they have Belorio, that's from over here. That's where.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shout out to my boy Denter going crazy in the building. And you've been making music with a lot of big MCs that are from out here too. You know, like you got shit with Vinny Paz, right?
Yeah.
You got shit with Sick Jackin, like.
Ooh.
I did one with Vinny Paz. Come, my homie put me on that track. My homie VHS from Arizona, he's a producer, so he produced that track for Vinny, and they asked him for me to jump in. So that's how that feature came. I had one with Capadonna too from the Wu-Tang.
Fire.
From the Wu-Tang?
Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah. with my homie Six Syllables from Arizona, another dope MC. That fool, he gets down, so he knows a lot of these guys, because they're over there. We have a homie that mixes for a lot of artists too, so that's
how important was for you guys, like, upcoming loving hip-hop and rap and fucking bars and lyricism, how influential was Psych Around for you guys?
Oh, it was definitely influential. It was one of the first groups I heard, like, with Cypress Hill along with Psycho Realm. Like, the first, because he was one of the first ones to do it in Spanish. Yeah, Jacking.
Los Carnales, no son ganga, es la
familia. Shout out Big Bro, Sick Jacket. We from the same side. Jack. Shout out the fucking downtown LA area, you feel me? Them Fudari, you know what's crazy, dog? I hosted a show in Pomona not so long ago for Psycho de Mayo, and Shekan opened.
Oh, yeah.
For him. And seeing Secano every fucking bar, he knew every song, dog. And I'm like, fool, you don't speak English.
Right.
He knew every bar. And Sick Jack and Kev, they'll go back and forth. But Secano, like, as a fan, I'm like, bro, this Secano traveled the world rapping. Imagine how influential fucking Psychorama is all over the world.
Sick Jack and one of my favorite MCs. And, like, back in the day, Duke was going crazy. You feel me? Like, and the... Sick Jackin in LA is like a religion unto himself, to the point where me and my homies, rest in peace Cadillac Ron, we used to have a word for the diehard fans of Psycho Realm. We used to call them Jackpackers. You feel me? Like Backpacker, but Sick Jackin and shit, because they were
fool,
like,
damn
it's like a religion, fool. Yeah. Like,
and then imagine how influential they were to you. To us growing up, the first tattoo everybody got was the mask. Because I'm from downtown LA. So from the same area, he's from Pico Union. I grew up more towards Echo Parkside. But just as Dash Babies, bro, was a fucking, like, dog, like.
Yeah, I always admire them. And, you know, and they're the homies, you know. They're really cool to me. And
super humble people.
Yeah, super humble. I even got to play my shit for Duke.
Yeah, that's like fire.
Duke is cool. He's
a couple years ago, through a producer, I went to go check out his beats, and we went to Duke's house, and he told me, like, play me some shit, so I got to play my music, and he, like, was liking it. It was a very, very special moment for me, because I admired them a lot.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, as far as downtown LA goes, other than Boulevard MC, there is nobody that came out before Psycho Realm. They were like the voice of that region. So it's like it's a real big deal. And as far as, like, you know, speaking of Chicano hip hop, you know, like, was Chicano rap an influence on you growing up?
Yeah.
When I say like that, I mean like the specific genre. I'm talking about like Diablo and, you know what I mean, Mr. Lil One and all those. Like, yeah. Did you guys used to listen to that?
Yeah, Diablo, that's a homie too. But, like, I held a track with him.
Mr. Shadow and all
those. Yeah, you know what? I wasn't really deep into it, but I had like one or two songs from
each artist.
Yeah, from each artist. Because I was more like into the underground tagging shit. So we were listening more to, you know, Atmosphere, Dilated, crazy shit like that, you know.
Right,
that's crazy.
So my homies used to listen to Chicano rap. So I picked up like some songs from them, from Night Owl, Mr. Shadow, like Lil Rob. Like, I had one or two songs that I liked because of the beat, the vibe, and everything. They had some pretty dope shit.
People don't remember before Lil Rob started making them poppy songs, he was going hard with the gangster rap, fool. Yeah. Like, fools don't even know. I know it's a controversial topic, but since, you know, both of y'all are part of the Latino community, Chicano and Mexican communities, SPM, there's been a lot of controversy, a lot of talk around SPM. I personally used to really, really fuck with his music heavy. Like, SPM got some bangers, but, you know, there's been a lot of controversy due to the charges that he's got, and there seems to be a back and forth going on. I want to hear both y'all thoughts on the SPM situation.
Motherfucker, this is his interview.
I want to hear your thoughts. I know you don't want to speak on it, but,
No. Charges are crazy. Those charges are crazy, you know, that's crazy, like.
Indefensible.
Yeah, dog, those charges, like, I feel it, like, I don't know, those charges are crazy, dog. Like, you have those charges, I mean, at least, like, for my homies, like, you can't even have, like, I don't know, I don't think you're able to, like, because that's forever in your record, bro.
What?
You can't go nowhere. You can't go, I don't know. That That's just crazy, though.
They got
I might not even comment on this.
No thoughts?
Nah. I wasn't really into his music. Like, I used to have a homie that used to listen to it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, but I wasn't really those beats didn't really connect with me in that era. Yeah, I don't know much about his case, but what I heard, it's just some crazy shit.
Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, I can't tell you. The only song I know is the main song. Like, that's the only one I really know.
He had a cool voice. I remember
fuck
that.
Fuck whatever. That was the main
song. Capone just dissed the fuck out of him.
I mean, but like, see, like, everybody's gonna. I understand why. Like, as I'm not a parent, but I totally understand why people that are, you know, it's just
that you know of.
Yeah, bro. That I'm a parent. Yeah. Yeah, but nah, I don't know. Those are very, very touchy and very crazy and very. That's bro. You, anybody knows, bro, you have those charges, you're not going to make it anywhere.
And, you know, like, they be trying to say, like, A, the strip club didn't ID them properly, and whoop you. I don't know, bro, but it's a shame because that he is part of that Texas movement that was really, really fundamental in bringing independent rap to the world. These dudes were moving 80, 90, 100,000 units out the trunk. Which is super, super impressive. Do you feel like you had to overcome, because you were killing it in Spanish, but you've recently made the transition to rapping in English and well. Like, what's that been like?
Oh, I always wanted to do it, but I wanted to be, like, ready to spit some more mature shit, you know, like some, when I had it more unlocked. So I felt like I wanted to do it this year. And I just have, like, two lyrics, honestly. Like, my first two 16s in English and stuff. But I think...
But no, they're dope. Yeah. Like, you're not... It's kind of like when Asesino did it, too. You have multi-syllable rhyme schemes. You got punches. You're not, like... I felt like you were able to express exactly what you wanted to say. Is that accurate?
Yeah, yeah, it is, bro. So... I was just waiting for me to feel ready to do it, and I honestly want to do, like, a whole project, like an EP or something.
Come on.
I already have a song with my homie Dante and Razzcaz.
Razzcaz, my dog.
Crazy. And this guy's son, Doobie, from Funk Doobie.
What?
Yeah.
Legend.
Yeah.
Legend.
And the homie Ayman from the Mexicans. So I have that one where I spit a little bit.
Wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Son, Doobie.
Yeah,
but yeah, going crazy, fool. Yeah,
the tapes are coming together, English and Spanish. And are you living out here in America right now or in Mexico?
Nah, I live over there in Mexico City, but my family lives here in the Valley.
Oh, so okay.
That's why I always come over here and know people from over here.
And Mexico City's fire right now, huh?
Yeah.
It's getting gentrified like a motherfucker.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy, though. There are earthquakes over there. Man.
It's like, it's bad?
Yeah.
They be hitting like 7 point something every other day.
We just
have, every other day?
Not every other day, but like it's way more recent than it is out here.
But some shit just happened. The 19th, like that was... We had an earthquake the same day on three different years.
Three
different years, same time, same date.
The fuck?
It's crazy. We had one in, it was one in 86, I think. I wasn't even born yet, but there was one, 85, my bad. And there was one in 2007. I was there. That shit was fucking, it was hard, bro. And we had one this year, the same day on the 19th, around 1 p.m. So people do the drill, the earthquake drill.
Right, we used to do that.
Like, if you're at work, everybody's doing it, and right after the drill's over, that shit just fucking...
It really happens.
Yeah, it really happens. So there's a mystery, because the experts say there's like 0.07 chances of that shit happening.
My mom, my mom was there for the 86 one. She's from, and she said everything got fucked up in their houses and shit. Yeah. They lived in Casas de Carbon. So she said it was crazy, but yeah, that's crazy as fuck. Yeah. Have you connected with Speaks?
Oh, yeah.
That's my dog.
I follow him on IG. We spoke like through there.
Man, we got to connect. He got to be on your tape. Yeah. And then he also lives in Mexico City.
Yeah, he's dope. I heard him on the LA Leakers.
That's been a homie of mine for like 20 years. That's a good dude.
That's
right
who pops rhinos with Red Bull, dog. You might not want to kick with him all night, but he may be in the studio, but not outside. He'll pop a rhino.
Hey, bro, he a bad man.
He a bad man.
He's a bad man. But as far as fucking rhinos and Red Bull, I'm like, is that a relapse if I do that? But it's dope to see you make that transition. But also, there's a lot of different styles of like, I remember the last time I seen you, you was out working with the homie Baby Franco, formerly known as Bobby Butcher, yeah. and we was in the studio. And you was like rapping over some trap beats. Yeah. Is that like a whole other style that's popping off out there too? Like,
yeah, it is. They have a lot of trap shit over there. But you know, I always like to spit on all kinds of rhythms because I find it like boring just to stay on the boom bap shit. So sometimes I do like jazzy beats. Sometimes I would do a fucking trap beat, like some, you know, explore all kinds of fucking beats. So that's what I like to do. So, yeah, but there's a lot of trap over there, man. That sound is very popular, than those type of beats.
What's your take on the rappers coming up in the mainstream in Mexico, like Santa Fe and Alemán and fucking, what's his name, Cuerno? Oh, yeah, I think he signed to Santa Fe as well. Like, what's your take on those rappers and artists like that?
Oh, they're blowing up right now. Santa Fe, man, he's fucking, that's the homie. You know what's crazy? Like, I've been knowing that guy for years, and he used to open up for me over there. So that seeing him blow up like that, he's in the Wakanda picture soundtrack too.
Yeah, he's in the bro. He did arena. Fuck it, bro. It's next to Paquita del Barrio, dog.
Yeah, he's packing venues over here in the States, bro. He has a cool sound. I'm very proud of that cat. But yeah, there's a lot of artists over there, man. But it's really growing up, and right now it's a crazy time because the labels are barely like signing artists, but you know, since it, right now people want to be independent, they can do their own shit, so they have to invest a lot of money and shit, so that shit's making it grow.
What's the biggest challenge for you as far as being an independent artist? Well, you're signed, so you're not even really independent at this point. Yeah. But what would you say, like, to upcoming artists from where you come from? Like, what's your advice that, you know, you got to kick to them? And I know, like, some of them are going to hear this that don't usually, because you haven't done too many interviews in English, so, yeah. You know.
Well, I always suggest if you have the dough to invest in your own product, just to stay independent, you know. But if you don't, just try. If you can work some shit out, cool. Just take the chances and be with a label. They've been supporting me real cool over there, you know, because they've been letting me do my own thing. I barely brought my crew in. I have a crew over there. It's called Never Die. Mm. It's a lot of dope MCs. So we've been rapping since like 2009 together. So mm-hmm. It's like 9 of us. But we never had a project like all together as a group. So I sold this project to Virgin. It's barely going to come
out. Barrio Wu-Tang?
Yeah. It's like a Spanish Wu-Tang, but yeah. We also do like all other type of beats, you know, like some trap shit, some rap shit. But you said like 8 Fools just spit in Spanish with different styles and stuff.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, bro, it's such like what he said earlier was the perfect example on why it's such a big thing right now. Like, yeah. I could only imagine, right? You're signed. The label was probably kind of questioning you at some point, right? Like, hey, yeah. What's Harvey moving? And now they're seeing this whole scene come back up, and now they're like, Enzo, like, come on, what do you want to do? Here's the money. Yeah. Here's the fucking budget. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're really interested. Artists are starting to come out in magazines and everything. It's just like that. That I see it as a beginning, you know?
Hell yeah. And then it's dope because you already went through the trials and tribulations of everything. Yeah. So now it's time for you just to enjoy it. Yeah, and I'm excited to see you do that, bro, because that's fun, bro, because I'm pretty sure it was hard for a couple years.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. When I started, when I first moved over there, bro, I was fucking, I don't know, man, I was making like $50, $100 a show and stuff. Mm. But, you know, like over the years, I've been charging more and more and more and just growing and stuff. But it's been quite a fucking, quite a journey.
Back home, are you like low-key a local hero at this point? Like,
yeah, definitely. When I go back, people are proud of me, and it's dope to see them over there supporting me. And there's a lot of, even in my city where I'm from, like the movement, the hip-hop, people over there are like influenced by the shit I do, so they're more lyrical, and they have more crazy.
That's fire.
You basically have defined the sound of your entire region when it comes to hip hop. Then low key,
yeah, like, defined the sound of Sonora.
That's fucking fire.
There's groups before me that help define the whole sound and everything. But yeah, the new freestyle bar era. That's I'm one of the pioneers over there. The influence.
That's crazy how to think that you like brought a whole movement to a whole fucking state and city in Mexico.
Yeah, even the Spanish a cappella rap. I was me and my homie Grave, rest in peace. We lost him last year. He was one of the dopest MCs, man. He was from Mexico, but he was also from Chicago. So he was one of the main guys that always was into the battle since way back, since Grind Time. And one of his favorites, I think, was what was this guy's name? They found some shit on him too. Tech Nine.
Some SPM type things going on.
Yeah. Oh, I was a rapper.
Yeah.
He used to show, kick it with him.
No,
Bill Collette.
I tried to get him. Oh, Tech Nine, was he black or Mexican?
He's black.
Oh, and they found some shit on him.
Yeah. He was from Philly. He was a legendary battler, but he had some crazy ass charges coming up, and he was literally like the day before he had to appear in court. He wound up killing himself.
Yeah.
But people didn't know about that when he killed himself. But everybody was just devastated when they heard about his loss. The whole battle rap community came together. We were all posting his pictures, saying a bunch of nice stuff about him.
But then nobody knew he was fighting this case.
Nobody knew he was fighting this case. We just knew that he killed himself. You know what I mean? Like, because it was all on the under. Like, maybe the people close to him might have known something, but they out there in Philly, like, we didn't know anything in the majority of the, and maybe they didn't know either. Maybe he just kept it away from battle rap, like his whole arrest, the whole subsequent trial, and all this shit, right? It was all on the under. This fool winds up killing himself. We're like, you know, motherfuckers raised something like $60,000, like GoFundMe and all this stuff, to the whole battle scene came together. We're all putting his picture as profile pics and all that. You know what I mean? Then he winds up, and it's good that we raised that money, because that money went to his family, and his family had nothing to do with that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not their fault. Like the his lady that he left behind or whoever, it's not their fault that he did this horrible thing, but it was about to be his court day the next day, and he killed himself. And when that came out, it became like, we don't say his name anymore. You feel me?
Oh, that's like Voldemort in the battle rap scene.
We do not. He who we shall not speak of.
Do you ever say bars about him to disrespect them?
Oh yeah, there is a crazy bar about him. So there's a battle between
disrespectful. I feel it though. Charges. I'm telling you, them charges.
There's a battle between T-Top and Rum Nitty, and T-Top. And Rum Nitty, like, they said that he used to work at Walmart. So T-Top had a bar about, you know, working at Walmart doing self-checkout. He's like, self-checkout, like Tech Nine, because he killed himself, self-checkout. You feel me? Like, yeah. And it was one of, like, the hardest bars ever. I love that bar. You feel me? Like, that shit's fire. Like, fool. He's a J. I mean, you know, I don't want to speak on the dead. That's scandalous. Yeah. So not fuck that fool, but...
But his case is crazy.
But yeah, fuck what he... I feel bad bringing him up, bro.
No, hey.
Nah. He opened the wound for the homie, dog.
Yeah, but the homie put me on into that battle, DNA versus Tech Nine.
Yeah, yeah.
And he put me on to those type of MCs, Sirius Jones. Like, I was more into the Grind Time kind of shit, you know?
Right.
I knew Arsenal, I knew Hollow, but I didn't know those, like, smack rappers. And the homie Grave, he put me into that, and then he was rapping in Spanish since way back, so we were part of this. He was part of our crew, We'll Never Die.
Right.
And we started the league. Me and him had the idea of someday having the Spanish league for battle a cappella and stuff. So, we founded that shit in 2012, man, and it just been growing. Like, we have battles with over 30 million views right now.
Yeah, and you have battles with millions of views. Yeah. You on YouTube is crazy, because you have cyphers with millions of views, battles with millions of views, songs. Like,
yeah.
How important is it for rappers nowadays down there to get their YouTube presence up?
Yes, yeah, definitely, man. It's, the whole game has changed. You know, it's very important right now to have numbers and stuff. But still, if your music is good, sometimes it pops, you know, because I have one. My biggest song is called Un Momento. And right now, the video has like 9 million. But in Spotify, it's already reaching 11 million. But it's because people are liking the song every time they hear it. They're just fucking adding it and stuff.
Fire. You know? What do you feel about the misconception that battle rappers can't make real music?
Oh.
Well, is that a thing down there too?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because look, it's a thing up here.
Yeah. That's it's definitely a thing up here.
Oh, yeah. That's an angle. A lot of you guys are... not everything has to be aggressive, dog. You know what I mean?
And, facts.
And that's just one of the biggest things in battle rap. Because I think, look, I was at the Batalla in Red Bull. Let me tell you, this is why I wanted to pay attention to it. Because obviously I know about it up here, right? Like, I've heard, like, example, I've heard some of Sue Surf's music. It's good, but
he makes good music.
It's good, but it's not.
Free my dog, Surf.
Yeah, free him. I've heard some of him and Holla shit. It's just not music to me. It's just not as good. Rapping, bars, all that, by all means, you get. But also, I was with a guy that's a big fan of the battle scene in Mexico and in Spanish, and he said he wasn't a fan of Asesino's music. And I was like, but you're a fucking fan of his bars. And, like, he knew everything about every battle. He's like, but I don't like his music. Mm. And I'm like, that's crazy, right? Like, that's crazy to think that.
It's like that for a lot of battle rappers, but, like, how do you feel about all that?
Well, I feel like sometimes it could be a stereotype that's already there. Like, people are already, like, programmed. But sometimes, yeah, they don't have the experience in the studio. At the end of the day, it's the training you do. So people that spend a lot of time recording songs, writing songs, that's the people that make dope music, even if they're freestylers or not. That's how I see it. That's why a lot of fools, like, they're not really good because they just... They have like 7 years freestyling and they just jump in the booth one day and then people just get that idea that they're whack and shit, but they just don't have enough experience, I think.
But see, shout out you, that's what I'm saying. You crawled a lot so motherfuckers could walk around because you expanded and tried everything.
Yeah.
English, Spanish, battle rap, acapella, beats, studio, bars, the backyard.
Pioneer.
Watching lush, ugly ass rap. Like, you experienced it all, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what a lot of people need to do. They need to expand their platter, dog.
Period. Yeah. Period. I mean, at the end of the day, basically what you're saying is it's a whole different skill set making music. And I think that's where a lot of battle rappers fall short, is because they think that because they rap so good or they can put together punchlines and all that, that they're just good at rapping under all circumstances. But making music is about creating a mood, creating a vibe, giving people a feeling. And if you don't do that, like for me, like I was making music first. Like that's how I started. I just happened to be good at freestyling, so battling popped off and all that. But
and to me, one of the most important skills is to know how to choose a dope-ass beat.
Right.
You know, from right there, and that's where a lot of artists fuck up. They're like, they choose.
They have no ear
for a dope-ass beat, so... I try to look for a beat that's already a vibe, already a hit, then work on that, because that's definitely like over 50% of the song.
If I know you do a lot of boom bap shit, but have you ever tried a West Coast beat? Yeah. Like super mellow, kind of more, a little more swaggy. Yeah, like some G-Funk. So you have tried some shit like that?
Yeah, I tried some shit like that. I also make beats.
You, motherfucker, you do it all, motherfucker. Yeah. God damn. He runs the league, raps in Spanish, English.
Yeah, and graffiti. I try to make beats different styles. I just made a beat like the other day, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna make some Nipsey Hussle type shit. But,
nice.
But I give it my vibe, you know, like trying to make it more underground. But yeah, like I've done G funk. It's not what I like to rap on, but I did a couple of songs before.
Fire, that's dope too.
I love to listen to it though. That like the West Coast G funk era. I love that shit. That the whole Dr. Dre production and everything, like.
Let me find out you can break dance too.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You're missing one element, dog.
That's the only thing I never did, bro.
Yeah, if you know how to spin your head.
I was always fucking chubby, you know, fat. So I just kept it to the wall.
To the wall, graffiti and rap.
Come on, we bombing the walls. Yeah. What's coming up next, bro? What we got to look forward to?
Yeah, I have this album. It's my second album, Universal, about to drop. Shout out to my homie Marco, my engineer. He just pulled up right now.
So my guy.
He's from here, so I'm working on my production over here with this guy. So, yeah, the album's crazy. It's 12 tracks, and I had no features on it. I just tried to do it all myself. And not to be, like, selfish or nothing, it was just, like, some personal shit that I was, like, in this era, I just want to make a sick-ass album with no features. Then the next album I'm going to drop with all features. So.
And are you breaking, is it like a more, like what you're talking about, the topics are more personal to your life? Is that why? And like,
yeah, definitely.
Autobiographical?
Yeah, a lot. I did a different subjects on it, but different topics, but it was pretty pretty diverse. Like, I have a song that's about just, you know, I have some rap shit, I have some storytelling, I have a song like something more trappy, like some flashy, bouncy shit, but I have all kinds of things on it, but under my style, you know?
Because you're always going to keep that consistent style.
Facts.
What's something about yourself as an artist, as a person, whatever you want, that you feel like nobody knows that you want the world to see?
Something about myself that I want the world to know. To know that I put my heart, you know, in my music, and I try to keep it real on my shit, and I do this shit because I like it. And that's the first reason for me to make music. Then after that, everything comes next, you know?
Hell yeah.
He's a real humble dude.
Man, can we get a freestyle?
Yeah. Should I do a freestyle or just a rant?
But I want it in Spanish.
Yeah, in Spanish. Go crazy.
Tengo una. Es el 2020-21, homie. Hablas, pero you don't know me. No conocen nuestra story. Parloteas, es contradictory. Mi estilo es notorio. Tú lo ves en grande como Biggie Smalls. Otro episodio que despierta el odio y envidia en el flow. That's facts. Me aferro a lo mío y ahora cuento las racks. Cuando busqué el oro no eran las plaques. Escupo en la cam, yo le llamo Tupac. Me muevo con marcas, esto no va mal. Estilos muy lacras en cada freestyle. Todo ritmo abarcan en cualquier style. Raperos se encharcan y yo como el mar. Soy muy vasto y fluido, pero en un cuido, te puedes ahogar. Me gano el pan, no me gusta rogar. A mi hermano, mi clan, solo me gusta rolar. Ha, flash, homie, no me grabes con el puto celular. Hoy no quiero la evidencia, voy en el micro, una eminencia soy. Los acabos, el sentenciador. No escucharon, trae silenciador. Con las Timberland revienta puertas, busca víctimas, tú estás de oferta. Putos son legítimas mis barras y mis letras. ¿Por qué crees tú que las leyendas me respetan? Es la E, baby.
I wish you understood what he said, motherfucker. Cause he said, put your phone away, stupid. He dissed you.
That
was fire.
That's how the song went.
Yeah, that was perfect timing, right?
That was perfect timing. I was like, damn, you dissing Les right now? There's going to be a battle coming soon? Yeah.
I don't want no type of smoke, homeboy.
But you too old, Les.
Let me find out, Duno. You feel me? You're going to get this work, all right?
I'll battle rap.
You'll get this fucking work. Yeah, I got you.
If you write me a whole battle rap shit, I'll battle rap him.
Yeah. We can see about it. No. That'd be a dope skit, though.
I'll write the rounds for both of us.
That'd be a dope skit.
Yeah, right.
That'd be a dope skit. So before we sky out, the Asesino versus Disaster battle, what did that mean for the scene, you know, for Latin American hip hop period?
Legendary. I was one of the guys watching the bootleg over there in Mexico.
Fuck you, bro.
Nah, I was playing, bro.
Nah, it's all good.
He was watching
the bootleg.
They wrote, it was like 10 people, like just 10 rappers on that shit. So I got to see one part, then they just cut it off.
Oh, for real?
Then I saw it like when you guys uploaded it, whole battle.
He said, fuck you, motherfucker.
But yeah, it was legendary.
It cost us a lot of money. It was too expensive. You feel me? You should have lowered the price. Sorry, Mexico.
It meant a lot to the battle community over there. Like, people were fucking proud of Asesino. I was one of them, you know. It was legendary to see them both go at it. And that's, I got to respect them more. I already had respect for Asesino. But once he did that, I was like, man, this guy's a true lyricist. Like, you know, he was before that, but that was legendary to go against Disaster and just to come home, learn his English shit. And it was crazy. I loved it. And Disaster, he had a lot of dope shit, too.
Asesino, we need an interview, dog.
Yeah, we gonna bring him on for show. Mal, come on. Yeah. What are your thoughts on Diz's Spanish and Asesino's English?
Oh, I think Asesino, his accent, you know, he's new to it, bro. He just started learning English like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So I think he did well for what he knows, and it was dope. And Disaster, he surprised me too, man. I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, man, he's a Habibi. He's a Habibi and spoke full in Spanish.
Yeah.
He had, that's his insane. Accent was on point too, right? Like, I thought he did pretty good.
It was cool.
Relatively.
It was, yeah, for somebody that...
Well, it's crazy. Like, I can't picture myself doing that, like, learning French and just battling a fool, like, in two years. Like, fuck that. Like, I don't think I can do it, you know what? So I got to give him props for that. That's crazy. And he has battled in all kinds of languages, right?
Yeah, yeah. Diz has battled in Arabic, German, Spanish.
Yeah, but Diz is a legend.
He's something else. But... we gonna have, see Eptos out here in the motherfucking on the GTX stage sooner than y'all think. So
yeah. I'll be there fucking around, fighting motherfuckers.
Yeah. Any final thoughts?
I'm gonna trio fools because I'm trying to fucking grow over here and try to fucking.
Oh yeah, like he trying to fuck fools up over there at the Grand Time shit. Yeah.
Come on, come on.
Fucking, who would you want to see in battle first?
I'm not gonna say.
Oh, fuck.
I'm not gonna say because we already got something in the works. With that being said, Duno, Uno, y Uno, yeah. We about this biatch. Out this biatch.